is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge.
Because I just went gay all of a sudden.
Weapons of class 4 and lower have been authorized for use during the purge.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty.
Government officials of ranking 10 have been granted immunity from the purge and shall not be harmed.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
Commencing at the siren, any and all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 continuous hours.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
Police, fire, and emergency medical services will be unavailable until tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. when the purge concludes.
General, would you care to step outside?
Blessed be our new founding fathers and America, a nation reborn. May God be with you all.
Liberty or death, walk me so proudly here. Once you prove
our power, sorry, I'm gonna take this rapper out of here. So fuck with it.
Record, even though we're already recording and we heard all that noise. I'm flying up north where I'm just getting the rain. So if you imagine storm cloud circles, we're getting like tailwinds up here. So we're getting intermittent rain, like 2 days of rain, and nothing. This time around wasn't heavy. The last storm that we had was monsooning for like a day and a half. We're like, whoa, I have not seen rain like this since I was a kid. I lived in South America.
Right.
Wow. Next to the fucking rainforest.
And so it's nice and humid for you now?
It is. It's doing nothing for this hair. Let me tell you, I got this fucking fro. It's happening. I've tried like Crew. I tried Suavecito. I tried everything. This shit just gave up. It's like, pomade my ass. This shit's going to melt by the time you get to your car.
Yeah, curly-headed problems.
Yeah, what's that?
So,
yep. It's a struggle. My
shit is not even as curly as yours. But here we are in the locker room. I am Tom.
I'm Matt.
And I'm fuzzy hair Marco.
Yeah, down there in the humidity. I can't do a thing with my hair.
I declare this hair is wild and the magnolias are wilting.
But we're back with you. If we have some connection problems, it's storming because of hurricanes on the Gulf where Marco's at. Matt and I are still in behind enemy lines in the People's Republic of California.
Yep.
How is everybody doing? I mean, we're back this week for another round of shenanigans. Things have been going well. People have been liking the show.
That's good to hear. Have we got any more correspondence?
I was going to say it's good to hear that people still don't have taste.
Right. No, but we did do. I got probably a huge compliment. Well, not probably. It was from one of the listeners on Facebook for Monday's episode of War Stories Official, because he posted on the post for the episode. He says, I literally got in trouble at work laughing so loud listening to this episode.
Nice.
All right.
So let me tell you, firemen have way better. If you want like messed up, weird, bizarre, they have way better stories. So, but we're going to talk about a meme. Well, we're going to talk about the subject of a meme I posted, two or three weeks ago now, I think. And it basically said, you know, can we all agree that the timeout generation is no good and that the ass-beating generation was far superior? And it brought up the interesting question of to spank or not to spank. And we are going to talk about that on this episode. We are all either in the middle of raising young children or have raised young children, correct?
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we all have to, we all have been victims of their terrorism at one point or another.
Yeah, as early as last night.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, it was my daughter this morning. Sloan, come here. Let's put your shoes on. No. The fuck you mean no? You were 18 months old. You don't get to tell me no.
Yeah. What was that Louis C.K. bit where he talked about the four-year-old kid being an asshole? Because, you know, he'll be like, get your shoes on, we're leaving. And then, no, I'm not putting my shoes on. He's like, if you and a bunch of your friends wanted to go to the movies and you couldn't get to the movies, you couldn't leave because Bill wouldn't put his shoes on. Like, Bill, put your shoes on. We're going to be late for the movie. No, I don't want to. Well, Bill's a fucking asshole.
Bill's getting left the fuck behind.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
But, so 4-year olds are assholes. But I will straight up, if people can't guess from things I've said on the show, I was spanked and I have spanked and I don't have a problem with it. That's my stance on it, starting right up at the beginning. How about you guys?
Yeah. Oh, I was spanked a couple times, and then I learned I did not like to get spanked as a child. So I subsequently adjusted my behavior. The kids that I was raising was a previous life, previous marriage. They weren't mine. They were hers from another. So I was hands off in that situation. But they were spanked by her.
Could you recommend spankings? Could you file for spanking?
Oh, yes.
File for spanking?
Yeah.
I'd like to charge this child with one count of back talk.
Yes. And I had carte blanche to do that. It was just my personal choice not to.
It's probably a good choice in that situation.
Because I just...
You had the easy out to be the good guy.
Yeah. I got to say, wait till your mother got home.
In my case, I had the shit beat out of me. I remember.
Yeah,
I am South American. We got to remember that.
Yeah, we need to clarify that too. When we say spanking, I know Thomas and I are, and any of you, or we're referring to the traditional over the knee, you know, hand on the ass.
Yeah, yeah, that too.
You know.
I got a wooden spoon.
Yep, check.
I never got a belt, but I got a check. Wooden spoon. And I got a dowel rod, like a really thin, whippy, like dowel rod.
That's biblical.
I got a switch. I never had to go outside and take
thing,
it myself,
yeah.
But
no,
yeah, my,
no,
yeah, yeah, yeah. My dad went outside and grabbed the. It was a lemon tree. We had a lemon and a lime tree in the back, and he grabbed one of those motherfuckers. And whack, whack. I also got the penny loafer. So if you guys remember the penny loafers, they had like sole, they had the rubber sole bottom. So if my dad had a good enough swing, it would slap bolts and nuggets, you know what I'm saying? Bah, bah. double cheek action.
I'll tell you what,
and I know
I only got it on the butt from my dad though.
Yeah, yeah. I got spankings traditional, like over dad's knee.
Same.
Swap on the ass. But then when I was older in my preteen and teen years, I do have, you know, a situation where my Italian mother would swat at me with the wooden spoon and throw a shoe.
Right.
Threw a shoe one time, my sister and I somehow like did like that whole wanted thing and like curved the bullet. The shoe went around the corner. And you guys remember that the house that I mostly grew up in, the laundry room off the side with the bathroom that we would use when we were swimming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure.
So my sister and I were by that door arguing and pushing each other. And my mom from the kitchen threw her shoe. It hooked around the corner. We both dodged it and it broke that window on that door. And then we were even in more trouble.
Yeah. I think she would do some mild like baby toddler spankings when you're out in public and you needed to just a quick swat. The only time that she ever really got like serious about it was I got slapped across the face as a four or five-year-old child, maybe four, for mouthing off pretty good after my terrible cousins had just left. And, you know, if family members that are bad influences, we all can remember like that family member that would leave and then you'd act a fool for 20 minutes while you forgot which house you were at.
Yeah. Mom be like, there's no witnesses now, it's on.
Right.
I remember one time when I was young, we were using, I don't know why, but we're on top of my dad's car, and myself, my brother, and a couple of the neighborhood kids were using the windshield as a slide. And if you guys remember, so now we were, I was young, I was like maybe, I want to say like maybe five, like four and a half, like 5 years old. So we were little, climbing up there, helping each other climb up there. And if you guys remember from pictures, my brother and I were like the number 10. I was the one and he was the zero, right? So I was a stick growing up, and then I ballooned and didn't stop ballooning apparently. So I needed to go to the bathroom. So I ran inside to go to the bathroom. And the next thing I know is my dad's pounding on the freaking door. And here I am like taking a dookie. Like I'm actually using the bathroom. I'm not running away. I'm taking a dookie. The next thing I know, my dad's pounding on the fucking door, yelling at me. I can't understand what he's saying. So I finally like, you know, I do a no wipe because of that, you know, my dad's yelling. So I'm like, what the hell? So, you know, so like, what am I going to do here? So check this out. So the story gets better. So I open the door and he grabs me by the hand and he starts yelling at me. And I finally, like, out of his, between his anger, recognize what the fuck he's saying. And he's saying that I broke the window, like I broke the windshield. And there's my brother and the friends going, yeah, he broke it. And I'm like, how is the smallest one out of you four chubby, you know, 8-year-olds be the one that actually broke this fucking window sliding down, right? Like, I'm the one, right? So anyways, so my dad gets like super mad, and because it happened, and goes to spank me, puts me over the knee. If you guys remember what I just said. And he goes and he uses his hand, and the first smack, whack. Realizes and gets more mad at me because now he's got shit. He's got a broken windshield and shit in his hand, right? So then he goes and gets so frustrated. He goes and like, as I'm curling up behind, like next to behind the toilet, goes, no, Dad. He goes and grabs for the first thing he can't to hit me with, which the happens plunger. To be a plunger. He hits me over the side of the shoulder and the head of the plunger, the rubber side, like doom, 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 like three times. Then he stops. Which
probably also has dried poop on it.
So he looks at me, looks at the plunger, looks at his hand, looks at the plunger, looks at me, looks at the plunger one more time, goes, oh my God, and turns on the shower and throws me in the shower, throws his hand in the shower and starts washing the entire situation. And here I am going like, I don't know if I'm in trouble or if now I'm covered in shit. I don't know what's happening right now.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was spanked as a child.
Mine was my cousins, Robbie and Matthew. They were evil little children. And actually Matthew wasn't that bad, but Robbie was terrible. He later went to prison. So that should tell you something. They were there. They're bad influence. You know, they backtalk their mom all the time, and they leave. And right after they leave, my mom looks at me and she goes, okay, go upstairs and get in the bath. And I said, no. And she goes, excuse me. And I said, I don't have to get in the bath if I don't want to get in the bath. And she says, and this is where, you know, the story falls off the rails. Cause I should have learned when she said, you'll go get in the bath right now and you'll never talk to me like that again, or I'll have to slap you in the face. And I said, well, if you do, I'll have to slap you in the face. And I didn't know mothers could levitate. I didn't know that was a superpower they possess, but apparently if you make your mom mad enough, she will float a couple inches off the kitchen floor and cross it in mere seconds, and then to bring her hand down across your face and spin your head around like the Exorcist.
Oh my God.
So I ran.
How old were you? How old were you?
I was four.
Oh, jeez.
So I ran upstairs, took a bath.
I mean, that you're right. You're right. That is a superpower.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to that. You know, at a certain age, you get a little smack on the butt, smack on the face. And I think that it results in a psychological condition known as respect for others.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, you have to, as a parent, and you see this with people like with the accounting moms or the timeout, you know, parents out in the wild. If you threaten your child with a disciplinary action, you have to follow through with it. Like you, You have to.
Well,
otherwise that kid knows that it's a hollow threat. So if you say, you know, if you don't do that, I'm going to swat you on the butt, and the kid still does, and you keep warning after warning, and I'm going to count to five or I'm going to count to three, and you don't follow through, then you're creating your own monster that you have to deal with.
Right. No, you're right. There has to be, it can't be empty threats. You know what I'm saying? Like you get a couple warning shots, you know, you fire a couple warning shots across the bow, but there is going to be a point in time, it's going to happen, where they're going to test that. They're going to see, is there actually one in the chamber?
Right,
and
right.
You have to be, unfortunately, you have to be prepared to fire. You got to, you asking for it, you got to pull that trigger.
Yeah, so if you're against spanking your child, don't threaten your child with a spanking.
Yeah, and I think anybody that's against spanking their child would never threaten, because my gut tells me that if you're against spanking your child, you're also against threatening them with it as well.
That's fair.
Well, with that, yes. And right. I'll attest to that, and I can attest to that because we're a house divided. You guys know that.
Right.
I think we talked about it lightly in the old format. And
but if you're one of those
still.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Go ahead. We're still a house divided.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
my whole thing that I was going to tag up on that was that if you're one of those people that you think you might be willing to do it, but you're more comfortable with threatening it than actually doing it, that's where I think the danger ground lies, where you're going to get called out eventually. So I think ultimately what we all can agree on is that if you're going to make the threat, you better be ready to back it up.
I think for me, it's not so much wait until your mom gets home. For me, it's like wait until your mom goes to work.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a sign that, like, in my house, it's going to say, fuck around and find out. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have that up, like in the tattoo shops. There's going to be a sign that's going to say, fuck around and find out.
Wait, translate fuck around and find out into Spanish.
There's no word. Well, let's see. Let's see. Well,
joder and discover?
Yeah. Joder y vas a encontrar. Joder y vas a aprender. Vas a aprender will be better. Yeah. Joder y vas a aprender, which would mean basically like fuck around, you're going to learn. Are you going to get learned? Are you going to get taught? Yeah. I always like when I walk into other tattoo shops and it says fuck around and find out. I'm like,
Exactly. Well, so now you are house divided. What is her reasoning, right, behind not spanking or not wanting to spank?
It's pretty much the same reasoning that everybody else uses, as far as like behavioral psychology. It winds up negative impacting the child more than positively impact, even though I was spanked. And I'm like, I'm an outstanding motherfucker.
I don't see, like, I would love to read the studies, because I've read studies that talk about spanking and its efficacy, and I've read studies that talk about not. I want to know how they're conducted, who's conducting them, and what the agenda is a lot of times, because I've met kids that were both spanked and not spanked, and it's interesting that there seems to be there's a complete lack of discipline versus not spanking, and spankings versus getting your ass beat. Like there's extremes of each end of the spectrum almost.
Sure. Well, for sure. You're saying like who's writing these, whose opinion, it comes down to the person's personal opinion hypotheses. I personally believe from having my children and then having, their cousins being the same age and being around other children now of the same age, that there are some kids, it's not blanketed. It's the spanking thing is not for every child. It doesn't work for every child.
Nope, right.
And it doesn't have to work for every child. You have to make a judgment call whether it is actually needed for your child. And it should, and everyone listening at home, I think I speak for all of us when we say it's not the go-to. You know, saying like it's not the go-to. You don't have to automatic. We're saying do not automatically spank your child. And say
right.
You know, he
accidentally spilled the milk on the ground, don't go fucking slap them. You know what I'm saying? That's just, that's out of hand. That's not needed.
Well, but, and there's also the intent issue, right?
Sure. Of course.
Like,
I mean,
if there's no like ill intent, or there's no dangerous intent, or, you know, like, if your kid's doing something reckless that's a crime, but he doesn't like throwing rocks at a car, that might be a spanking, because if it wasn't your car, it would be a crime. Right? You know?
Right.
I think it comes down to comprehension. If you're not gonna automatically go to spank, you need to make sure he understands the fault, you know, the what he did wrong. I mean, if you automatically go to, like, your child threw a rock at this car that's driving by, shattered the window, and you go to start beating his ass, like, the point may not come across.
How old's the kid? How old's the kid? What is their expectation? Absolutely. Those kinds of issues. I mean, like, if you have a toddler and they're throwing a temper tantrum, and they scream out F you, mom, in the middle of the store or something like that, that's going to be an instant rap on the mouth for me, right? But that's because with very small children doing very, I guess, discourteous, disrespectful behaviors in public, it's got to be like instant, you know, versus like, we're going to sit, you know, when I got a spanking from dad, it was, we're going to sit down, we're going to talk about what you did. Then I'm going to tell you you're getting a spanking. And then I will leave the room. And then 5 minutes later, I'll come back in. You'll get a spanking. And then we'll hug it out. And that was the steps of an official spanking, as opposed to this is my story with my mom, where I done fucked up. And it just was, that was an instant, like, instant karma, like, oops.
Yeah, that's how my spankings were carried out too, and also it wasn't my spankings were for like repeat offenses. Like, it was, you know, I fucked up, and I was told this is wrong behavior. This is why you don't do this. Don't do that again, or it'll result in, you know, corporal punishment. And then mischievous kid, I fucked up and got it. How late in a kid's life does the spanking go on in your books?
The butt spank, like the over the knee butt spanking?
Yeah, the traditional sit down, here's how you fucked up, here's how you should correct this behavior. We're gonna get a spanking, and then afterwards you're done crying, we're gonna come in, hug it out, I still love you, you know, had to do this, but that's what, you know, where's the playbook in your guys' minds as far as how late does that go on into the kid's life?
Again, I think I'll go with Marco and what I think he would say, which he was just talking about spankings in general, which is, it depends on the kid. I give you a perfect example of it depends on the kid. My daughter, I could count on one hand and have fingers left over the number of times she had to be spanked. My son, it was, I couldn't even guess, right? But it's the same thing. Like, if your kid, you know, if one kid 6 or 7 years old figures it out and is very mature, and you can recognize that, you know, you can tell a 7 year old, hey, I'm going to take all your toys away and ground you, and that works and that's effective, then that's the age that I guess the spankings could stop. But if you've got a 12 year old that's still breaking into the neighbor's house.
right.
In the Hispanic culture, the spankings never stop, because you can show up. You can show up to Abuelita's house, say the wrong thing, and get a fucking chancla in the back of the head, and spanking. You know what I'm saying?
That's the other part of it, though, because I feel like there's two different forms of spanking. There's the instant justice spanking, which is mom and abuela and, you know, all that stuff. The chancla, you know, the plancha cord. It was,
yeah.
That's the fuck around coming. And find out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that's different. You know, it's coming. Right. You know, you're going to say some shit that deserves a chancla.
Right. Yeah. So that's my point. Like, that kind of spanking never stops. Like, if I said something completely disrespectful to my mom, your mom, Matt's mom, who are all moms of mine, and then if I said it to my dad, I would fully expect that if it was bad, I'd get this.
Oh, yeah. And then if you get the eyeball,
I'd get the crazy eyes.
That's it.
Right? I'd get the crazy
eyes. That's it.
But if it was really bad, if it was like, you know, like if I disparaged my dad's wife's character, I'd be, boop, you know, there's the, here comes the backhand. And, you know, I read an article one time that was talking about manhood, and it said, you know, as a man, your father should be the only man that even in a wheelchair at 80, he can still kick your ass. And I think the reason for that is because your father should be the one man you won't fight back against unless he's, if as long as he's justified, right? As long as he's being a father and not being a
if you have the, I hate to say it, but if you have like the drunken asshole of a dad coming home and trying to swing on you, then yeah, that's different. Then,
yeah, but that's not being, that's not being a real father.
That's being abusive.
No, we're talking about
at that point, you're just spanking dad.
What was that? Was that song? He kicked like a mule and bit like a crocodile.
Oh yeah, boy named Sue.
Yep.
So, do you see? Is it kind of like, you know, because there's a kind of a legal doctrine where if there's two people with equal votes, the no wins, right? So, is it kind of that way in your house where? Because she doesn't spank, you don't spank? Is it because she's a vegetarian, so that pretty much makes you a vegetarian too?
Sure.
I mean,
does she doesn't listen to this, Marco. Come on.
No. You know what? I'll present it this way. I'll give you guys my personal opinion on it. Yes, you're right. The no wins out. Here's the reason why. That is the kid's mom. So ultimately, I'm respecting her wishes because her wishes are 50% of mine. And she has a strong enough belief against it. Now, have I thought of spanking either one of them? Yes, early as like 2 days ago.
Right.
Absolutely. Like I had to check myself. I was on my way over. And I saw the look in my son's eye. And to be honest with you, it's one of those things where me kind of bum rushing him, if you will, and looking at the fear in his eye, he was like, oh God. And he looks at me and goes, are you mad, daddy? I'm like, oh yeah. Daddy's very, very upset right now. and that was enough. There was one time my daughter, and if my wife listens to this podcast, you know, and yells at me for it later. I stand by my decision, and this is why. My daughter, I was cooking, I was making them pancakes like I do a couple times during the week because they love them. And she wanted to see what I was doing. So she grabbed one of the little kids' chairs that they have and moved it next to the stove, which she is allowed to do as long as I'm there. It's not a problem. And she started reaching for the pancakes on the griddle. Right. So I was like, no, Sloan, you know, no, it's very hot, you know, very, very bad, very dangerous. And I'm swatting her hand slowly, moving her hand away, no, and saying again over and over again, no, it's very hot, you're going to get injured. And then I let her get a little closer to it so she can feel the heat in her hand. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like maybe that was a deterrent. Fuck no, it wasn't a deterrent. It's like a moth to the fucking flame. I'm like, you're going to get fucking zapped by the purple light, but you're still going towards it. But you know what's going to happen because your best friend just died. Yeah. It does not fucking matter. Right? The fly is going towards the purple zappy light. And so I let her get a little closer. Like, and gentlemen, when I say a little bit closer, I'm not talking about like right over the pancake. I'm talking about like, you know, you guys know what the fuck you guys cook. Like you get close enough to the heat to feel the heat, almost to the point of like where it can burn like the fucking hair on if you have your hair on your knuckles. You know what I'm saying? Like you're like, okay, that's close enough, right? And she goes, how hot? And then goes for it again. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me with this? So like, I swat her hand away, on like, I kid you not, on like the sixth time that I swat her hand away, I just went in and grabbed her hand and two fingers, like I'm petting a fucking, you know, something in the zoo, right? I got two fingers to the back of her hand and bap. No. Hard enough of a slap, so it kind of woke her up, and she just looked at me, and immediately, I'm like, you know, Daddy has a sign up there that says, fuck around and find out. You just found out.
But I just realized that you have an interesting weapon in your arsenal that is...
A limpy?
Like, well, then, no. I don't mean like your physical arsenal. I mean your psychological arsenal. Because you have the ability to go to your children and say, if your mother wasn't here, I would hurt you so bad right now. So you better pray to the baby Jesus every night that she wakes up the next morning to take care of you. And you better cherish her, because if something happens to her, you're taking the train to Pain Town.
Fucking Pain Town.
Choo choo, motherfucker.
Chugga chugga choo choo, bitch.
But I mean, hey, seriously, you can generate this like goodwill and love and respect and adoration for mom, because mom is the only thing standing between them and a series of incredibly progressive ass whoopings.
Right.
It's some 3 years ago, and this is for 2 years ago.
Hey, I had a question, Marco, that I just thought of. So you are a house divided. Was this a discussion before you guys got together and got serious about starting a family? Like, did you have a sit down about, okay, we're gonna start a family, we're gonna have a child? Did you have the spanking versus no spanking conversation with her, beforehand, or no?
No, I was suckered in.
I have nothing against spanking.
Yeah.
She nods her head. Sinisterly.
No, it wasn't until sorry, I had to adjust something on the screen. That's why you saw my hand. It wasn't until we got pregnant the first time we started breaking shit down, and I was like, oh. I'm so but the way she presented it, I was like, I'm just gonna stay quiet. And just, so I believe in this, and I'm like, word. Yeah,
cool. Are you sure you're already pregnant?
Yeah, that's cool, right? Where are some stairs?
Here's a question for both of you guys then. Are you spankers because you were spanked and that's kind of your style that you know, or are like, what is the reason that you decided to be willing to do that or adopt that? Is it just tried and true, it was effective with me, why wouldn't it be effective with my kids? Or do you have objectively other reasons?
I would like to say that, I'm sorry, Matt, I know you just opened your mouth like you're
in. No, go ahead.
I would like to say it's as simple as in, it worked for my generation, but obviously we had hoodlum ass motherfuckers and people who we know that went to jail and, you know, did some wrong shit.
No amount of spanking would have fixed
in the
him.
General's.
Yeah, there, no, I was, yeah.
You know, and all joking aside, yeah, that is, yeah. No, all joking aside, there are a lot of people that no amount of spanking helps, period.
Yeah.
You know, there's just some miswired, there's just some miswired motherfuckers. That's just how it goes. There's just some miswired motherfuckers. But for those, I believe that with those people that are on the border, those people that are sitting on the fence, you know, saying that it can keep them on this side of chill for longer, maybe enough for them to grow up enough to make enough good decisions or have enough of a foundation to realize, quote unquote, right from, not quote unquote, but right from wrong. I think it helps the majority. They can help the majority of people. Like we said, when it's situation calls for it, you know, and an individual basis, I don't think it should be taken off the table. That's what I'm trying to say. It should not just automatically be blanketed and just taken off the table. That's like saying all of one, you know, because it doesn't work for 20 out of 100 people, then we shouldn't just do it to the other 80. Well, no, if it works for the other, not even 80, let's say like 20 of them didn't work for, 30 of them it worked for, and the other, you know, the other 50 didn't need it. Well, I think it worked for the 30. Shit.
Well, it's the same thing I was saying earlier about, you know, you've got parents that don't spank versus parents that don't discipline. And then you've got parents that spank versus parents that hand out ass whoopings like cotton candy. And I think that that's a big part of it too, is you're saying leave everything on the table. And people that say, I would never, ever spank. It's wrong. It's not effective. It doesn't work. It's never good. Are just as bad as people that say spanking is the only way to punish a child. You have to spank them hard and often.
Yeah, you know, yeah, agreed.
Yeah, they're just as equally. You're right. That's a great way of putting it. They're both equally as wrong. And the chances are I'll be called into a PTA meeting or a you know, parent conference with my child that knows better, and your child that was not spanked. You know what I'm saying? I'll look right at you and be like, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, who's right and who's wrong?
Right.
You have to, with extreme good, extreme responsibility, you know what I'm saying? Extreme power. No, it's with extreme good, you have to have extreme, like, bad. Well, what I mean by that is coddle, nurturing, baby talking, patience, explaining every aspect of everything that you're doing. That is 100%, let's say that's 100% on the positive side, right? For lack of a better description, that's 100% on one side. You have to have that balance. You have to have that balance of the 100% on the negative side. And depending on where their level of need of wrongness or what they did falls upon, you need to be able to rely on the extreme of killing with kindness or whoop that ass.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
and like, well,
go ahead, Matt.
For me, when I was spanked, that was like the worst case scenario. That was the harshest form of punishment. And so, and I think as a parent, if you're pro spanking, you have to treat it as such. You can't, every little infraction can't be a spanking, because then there's no level of escalation for, you know, anything. And like we are already saying, if it doesn't work for your child, I think as a parent, if you're somebody who spanks your child after so many times and it's not working, then you kind of have to, it's your responsibility to recognize that and kind of maybe come up with a different game plan. Because right. if you just keep spanking your child and thinking it's going to correct behavior and the behavior is not being corrected, then it's obviously not working for that child.
Right. Mm-hmm. And as I said, my sister and I were the same way. I needed to get spanked, but she didn't really. You know, you could look at her sideways and she'd fall apart and feel bad. And I'd be like, what? What's your problem? You know? So yeah, you're right. Yeah. Every kid's different.
I have a sister who's 5 years younger than me. And I don't know if it was she just saw her big brother fucking up and being punished a lot, but she never received a spanking. She not one time ever received a spanking. Not Same. Once.
And I, not because I got they a, wouldn't, but yeah. because they didn't need to.
Correct. Because she right. didn't need yeah, that.
Absolutely.
That, you know, in my parents' eyes, that's how they raised both of us. I was deserving of, and if I look back right. at it, regardless of how you feel about spankings, I deserved every one that I got because I was a little shit kid for quite a few years. And I was told, don't do this again or this will happen. And I think but my
some
last-
some of that's boys versus girls.
Correct. And you know, a funny thing is one of my last spankings I ever received, I remember the follow-up was, you do it again, you're going to get a spanking. And I had the same behavior again. I pleaded with my dad, and he actually wrote out a contract and had me sign it saying, if you know, I will never do this again, and this is my one pass on the spanking, and if I do it again, I'm going to get it twice as bad. And after that, he legit wrote on a piece of paper, he signed it, dated it, I signed it, and he kept it, and he goes, I'm going to remind you of this, this happens again. And after that, a hand was never laid on me again.
You had an IOU for your ass.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah,
I mean, that's creative parenting.
You took your ass out on credit.
Yeah, but that's creative parenting, and that's thinking outside the box, because clearly he'd spanked you a bunch of times, and he had right. you in a position where you were willing to do something you had never done. You were behaving in a way where he kind of had you listening, where you were willing to make the deal to avoid the ass whooping. And right. he said, okay, if you're able to articulate that, then clearly – it's like I said, once the grounding works, or once you find, you know, their Achilles heel, one of the most effective things that I've done with my son as he's become a teenager is I want him reading, regardless of how you feel about it. Reading is a skill builder. right? And he doesn't really like I was an avid reader. I read Stephen King and all this other stuff growing up, but he just never been a big reader. It's, you know, it was difficult for him, so he just never got into it. So I've told him, I said, you know, if you screw up, then I'm going to make your punishment something that's at least going to benefit you. So you can sit there for an hour and read, you know, a novel. And it's kind of silly to have to threaten your child with making them go read, because to me, that was never a punishment. That was why grounding me to my room didn't really work. I'd just go pick up a book and read and I was fine, you know. But my kids, right, you know, you take him away from his video games and his and stuff, and you tell him he's got to read, he's like, oh. But at the same time, he is getting some benefit out of it. So I've adapted and I've gotten creative as he's gotten older.
But at the same time, all right, let's put some things into scenario, right? For example, your son or daughter, it's caught breaking into the neighbor's house.
How old?
Let's say 12.
Okay.
Let's say 12 or even pushing 13. So it's kind of like you're almost want to say it's questionable, right?
Old enough to know better.
Do the cops bring them home or do they book them?
No. Let's say that you found out through some detective work, like, you know, that your neighbor mentions that their house got broken into. Then all of a sudden, you know, in your son's room, there happens to be some, where the fuck did you get this thing?
Ooh, okay. So you okay. Straight up Sherlock Holmes this shit and you figure it out.
Which is not, if you think about it, it's not a really crazy scenario. It's not
it's happened a bunch of times. I've had parents call and say, I figured out my kid broke into the neighbor's house.
Yep. So.
So what would we do?
So what do you guys think? So you talk to him and there's some lip back, you know, about like, you know, hanging out with certain people, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm trying to break down, like, at what point, because there's still going to be people out there that are adamant about not spanking, right?
Yeah.
So the talking is not working. That's what I'll say. The talking is not working.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
At 12, I would probably assess, like, if he's, if I've grounded him in the past and all that kind of stuff. If he's like 8 years old and I caught him, then I probably just whoop his ass and say, don't you ever do that again. And you're never hanging out. You know, you're not going to hang out for 3 months with those boys that you did this with. And then I would call all their parents and tell all of them. And then I would march him next door and have him stand there in front of the neighbor and apologize face to face and this and the other thing. At 12, I'm still going to have him, he's not going to hang out with those kids for a while, and he's still going to have to go over and apologize and admit what he did. And then I'll probably tell the neighbor, you have my son as an indentured servant for the foreseeable future until you feel like he's paid his debt to you for breaking into your house. That's probably where I'd go with it at 12.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to agree with you. I think...
Yeah. No, I'm 100% on board with that too. Yep.
So we'll say, let's say at 7, spanking, at 8, spanking, 9, let's go to 9 and 10. So I'm thinking at 12, you go, and then at the end of the day, after the talking, you go and have him do chores for them, like mow their lawn, pick up their trash, you know, take their trash out to the curb, put their bins back away for them.
Right.
In my previous life with the four kids from the other, there was a situation where the oldest boy was picking on one of the girls. So there were two girls, youngest, and then two boys were older. So that the getting into it, and it got physical. And we were in a smaller town in the outlying Phoenix area that had a smaller, you know, police force. It wasn't, you know, the Phoenix Police Department. And they sent over a patrol car, and I met the officer outside, said what was going on. And, you know, I said, look, there's no marks on her. And he goes, good, because I don't, you know, because, and the kid was, I think he was 13 or 14 at the time. So this cop came in, hooked the kid up, put him in the back of the car, drove him down to the police station and brought him back and just scared the bejesus out of him. And, you know,
yeah, like a scared straight.
Exactly. Exactly. And then that behavior stopped because I knew, you know, you know, spanking the kid, taking something away. You know, I've taken doors off of rooms before as a punishment, you know, and, but that was probably the best thing that, you know, luckily that we were in a situation where, you know, the police were able to help out and sympathetic, you know, the officer that showed up was a dad and goes, oh, totally get it. I got you. Here we go. And yeah, scared that kid straight.
You know, honestly, what I think has become a tool that has disappeared worse than like spanking has disappeared as a tool in a lot of people's homes. And I'm not, as much as I agree with it and I think it should be on the table and even as a last resort, there is one punishment or punishment method that has gone that I think if we were to tell everybody, you need to bring this back and you need to bring it back right now, is shame and embarrassment. Go stand in the fucking corner. Go put your nose in the corner, right? Remember that?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You're in the middle of the classroom and the teacher goes, you, Tom, go stand in the corner with your nose in the corner. You get caught chewing gum, put your gum on your nose, right?
Yeah.
You get, I mean, yeah. There. That's why
the
when
whole
I
see, dunce hat thing, you know?
Right. When I see these parents that have got, I'll ask you guys what you think. When you see these stories about parents that make their kids stand out in front of a store wearing a sign
yes.
You know, I stole from this store or
yep.
when they, you know, stand out in front of the school and say, I bully kids at lunch, you know, or whatever. How do you guys feel about that stuff?
All for it.
Well, if it's a video, I find it hilarious. There's the one about the kid with a bike. I don't know if you guys saw it, but there's the one with the kid on the bike, and he's like talking all this lip to these people at the grocery store, and then his dad sees the video and takes his ass back to the store, and the kid is sitting there apologizing to them, and I will never speak to the like that again. I don't know what's wrong with that shit. Oh, if you have not seen that video, take a moment. Find it. It is parenting gold.
Parenting gold.
It's parenting.
I think embarrassment is see, that's the beautiful thing about shame and embarrassment. Spanking has an expiration date. We've talked about it. Like at what point, you know, okay, rap in the mouth. Like that has no expiration date. If you lip off to some dude about his girlfriend being a bitch, you better expect to get a rap in the mouth. And right. I guarantee you, even if that woman is against spanking children, she's probably all for her boyfriend punching some disrespectful asshole who called her a bitch in the mouth. You know, I doubt there's a woman out there who wouldn't be like, okay with their boyfriend punching another man for calling him a bitch.
Right.
So those things aside, that's not the expiration date we're talking about, but we did talk about like, at 8, 9, 10, you know, between 8 and 12, you start to get into this to spank or not to spank. Have they gotten too old for it?
Right.
But you are never too old to be shamed and embarrassed by your behavior.
Oh, and absolutely.
I think like we've gotten to a culture where shame is seen as something we should never, ever be made to feel, right? Oh, you're fat shaming me. Oh, you're all this slut shaming. I mean, everything's
it's in that bullying category. It's always bullying that person. Yeah.
And I mean, let's face it. There's some shit you need to be ashamed of. go on peopleofwalmart.com and you will see a ton of things that people need to be ashamed of.
Well, being ashamed and being called out for something is completely different. Like, you know, saying if you're slutting around, if you just broke up with your ex-husband, your ex-wife, and you're out whoring, and I'm like, ooh, you're really whoring it up. I'm not shaming you. I'm letting you know, like, hey, slow down on that dick. You know what I'm saying? Like, take a moment back, take a little breather. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't go catching anything. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now, if I'm like, another woman every night, you know, it's like there's a difference between like calling somebody out on their shit and there's shaming.
Well, okay. So if you, yes, but I'm not talking about like if your friend is being a, you know, a man whore after a breakup and you go make him stand in front of the bar wearing a sign that says, I'm a man whore, don't date me, you know, and he right. should be ashamed of himself. No, but that's the thing. Most of that, if your parents did their job right, most of that shame comes internally, right? So if you are doing something, you know, is it, that you're not supposed to be or is wrong, you'll feel shame, and you're supposed to, versus like if you get into the perspective of somebody embarrassing you, right? Or depends on what, like if they're pulling your pants down just to be a dick, then, you know, yeah, they're an ass, that's kind of into the asshole category. But if they are allowing the truth about your shit ass behavior to be heard and letting the embarrassment of your own actions set in, then that's on you.
Right, right. It depends on the behavior. I mean, like the whole, you know, the whole run around, horn around thing, like whatever, that's, if you're not harming anyone, then do what you got to do. You know, I'm just saying. But
it's most of that's none of it, unless you're making it people's business. For example, it's the idea of somebody going around having unprotected sex with people and you know they have a STD. There's a different responsibility than just your buddy who is on a bad breakup and he's out, you know, hooking up with random women at bars. There's a different responsibility there. So
harm. You're causing potential harm at that point.
Right. But that's the same thing what we're talking about with kids and their intent, right? If your kid's just being dumb and they don't know any better, then you need to sit them down and explain the alternative. Like, this is how you're supposed to behave and here's why. And then if they still are like, I don't want to do that, that's not fun, I'm going to do the fuck around shit, then you start to talk about discipline, whether it's shame.
Right.
You know, if the teacher looks at the class and goes, shh, right, as a general shush to the whole class, even though it's only two kids talking, she's trying to be cool and not call anybody out, little shush. And then the next thing you know, they're still talking and she goes, Matt, Tom, you need to be quiet. And they still talk. There's like, you two assholes, go put your nose in the corner.
Right.
And you brought it on yourselves. You did. It's the same kind of, like, if you're screwing around on, you know, some married woman's wife or husband or whatever, then, and your friends are like, ooh, I'm not saying anything, but I'm gonna laugh when that shit comes out. Right? And that's the difference. It's like you are going to feel embarrassment from your own actions, and I am going to be one of the people laughing.
Yep.
I'm not gonna pat you on the shoulder and say, there, don't cry, because you fucked up and I just got popcorn and sat down and watched. That was all I did. So embarrassment, I think, and shame are powerful tools that, and again, I think this is why they need to be taught as things that kids need to work through early, because you're going to do stupid shit that you should be ashamed of and you should be embarrassed by as an adult. And the key, whether it's screwing up at work or screwing up with your kids, or the key to embarrassment and shame is that it's the driving motivator for you to go back, apologize, and make it right.
Right, right.
And if you don't teach children, when you feel like this inside, when you feel this shame and embarrassment, you don't throw a tantrum. You don't make everybody else give you cake and ice cream to make your shame go away. You don't take that shame and embarrassment and demand that people treat you differently so you don't feel that way. You fix what you're doing wrong. You fix the misbehavior. You fix it. And you apologize to the people that you're affecting.
Yep. Agreed. I can't even add anything to that. I'm in agreement. No, you nailed it.
Yeah, it's very solid. It's super solid. Yeah.
But that's, again, that's all. That's the only reason I said that punishment style needs to be brought back, because I just don't think kids are getting enough of it anymore. They don't understand. Yeah. That's a natural feeling of, oh yeah, that's Jiminy Cricket, dude. More kids need to watch Pinocchio. If any Disney movie needs a reboot right now, it's Pinocchio. So I don't know.
You nailed it. I mean, that's pretty much as far as that's concerned. There's nothing else to add or unpack. This is very true, and you make a very solid statement as far as and again, know the difference between shaming and abusing, right. And overdoing it. Got to be respectful. Got to know what to do, when to do it.
Yeah.
And not to be vindictive about it. Understand that it's going to come from a place of learning and teaching, not from a place of being, being justified or,
Like when your daughter takes the scissors and cuts her bangs in a lightning bolt across her forehead at 4 years old. And you're like, no, you're going to preschool looking like that.
Yeah.
Yep. They'll learn. Stay away from the scissors. So I think the takeaway would be nothing should be left off the table, right? Because it depends on the child, right? And
right.
The emotions that kids have to work through during punishment and during conflict and during, those are things that if they don't learn to work through early on, if you don't expose them to shame and embarrassment and conflict and pain early on, life is not going to spare them.
Yeah,
get exposed to that. So if you don't fuck your kids up a little bit in a safe environment,
the glass bubble does not work. That's what we're saying. The glass bubble does not work.
Yeah. You got to put a couple of calluses on your kids.
you got to do it. Rough up them elbows. Make sure the knees are scraped. Have them drink from a hose. Have them play with a rusty fucking playground. It's okay. It's okay.
And it's in a safe environment where you can watch them. And you're like, okay, I'm gonna let them fuck themselves up this far, because he's four, right? He's four. So here's how much I'll let him fuck himself up. And here's how bad they are. Here's how much I'll let that kid experience before I step in and say, now, what did we learn? Versus,
right,
like you said, you weren't going to let your daughter burn her hand on the frying pan. Right.
No.
I know some parents that literally would look at their kid sticking a penny in a light socket and go, oh, I'm just going to wait because it's a crime that carries its own punishment. Right. But you're going, like, no, I see this is going to burn her. And so, whack, I smack her hand and she doesn't get burned. You decide where the line is before you, I don't know.
No, you're 100% correct. Yeah. I made the decision to either I can let her get burned and learn from it, or I can not have her get burned. And I can be, she can look at me as far as being the bad guy. That's fine. I'll be the bad guy. Not the frying pan. I'll be the bad guy. As long as you learn that daddy does not want you to touch that for a reason. And if you're not understanding that hot is bad, then I need to put another block. I need to put another defense. I need to put another defense in your way in order to make sure that you don't get hurt 10 times worse than the little two finger slap in the back of your hand.
Right.
I'm okay with it.
You gave her a little bit of pain temporarily to save her from a lot of pain that would last longer.
And when she figures that out, she's going to thank you because it's going to show that you cared about her. It's going to show that you loved her.
Yeah.
Now, if I can stop her from fucking trying to shove the USB chargers into the fucking wall sockets, that'd be fantastic. God, she's like,
you gotta get those little plugs that you. The little right.
She
plugs
takes them see. Off. So
no
she,
kidding.
You'll have to ask John. He got locking ones. They lock into place. I have to find out
because this one is a mad scientist genius. I'm like, I don't even know how you did. How did you just do that? Like, yeah.
Like the amazing
play school little scooter. Dude, like she's got like her play school scooter up the other day, like up on some building blocks, and she's like pretending like she's changing the tire.
Nice. I'm
like, really? I'm like, that's cool. And then she does some fucking ridiculously dangerous Cirque du Soleil shit where she's like takes that same scooter, puts one of these little tiny fucking people chairs on top of it to make a stack to then get something on top of the TV. And I'm like, no, that's that. No.
Right. Like my son, when he was a baby and he lived, he had in the crib, he was like 18 months old or whatever. And my wife was like, did you hear that? And we like, yeah, I think Cameron's up. So we went and opened the door, and there he is, you know, standing there in the crib and looking at us, and he's supposed to be asleep and it's dark in his room. And mm-hmm. he looks at us and we're like, go to sleep. And he kind of lays back down, and then I close the door and I hear a sound, and I go back in like literally 5 seconds later, he's climbed out of his crib onto the dresser and up the blinds. Like he's trying to scale the blinds in his room. And I'm going, at this point, they need to rearrange the furniture or hand out some ass whoopings, because I can't let him fall off of the top rope at 18 months sure. old.
But yet you're impressed. You're like,
oh yeah,
like,
for sure.
I'm super pissed off and I'm super worried for you. But I'm kind of like at the same time, I'm like, wow, good for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good for you. Yeah.
It's the time my mom caught me trying to rappel off the balcony of our second floor of our house with tied together sheets like a prisoner of Alcatraz. She's like, no, it would have worked too, by the way.
We got some verbal reprimands from my mom about jumping off the roof into the pool.
Yeah. And then eventually when the bills were on us, right, the insurance and the hospital bills were on us. She's like, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yep.
Because now those bills are on you.
So, I used to climb onto the roof of our house in Venezuela when I was young. Later on, I was like 9, and my brother was looking for me outside, and he's like started yelling because he couldn't find me, so he was like freaking out, and I didn't hear him. So I come to the edge of the roof, and I'm like, "What?" And he looks up. He's like, "How did you get up there?" I'm like, "This way, this way, this way." He's like,
"Is it right there?"
I'm like. It was like, he's like, is it cool? I'm like, well, yeah, of course it's cool. Why would I not be up here if it wasn't cool? You can see the whole neighborhood. So I hopped down. I helped my brother get up. And I mean, in like the most cartoon way possible, I'm like pushing up on his ass to get up to like the top part, you know, to the last part where I myself as a child, fearless, would just jump up, grab the fucking roof and then hoist up. I had to like put him on his ass on my shoulder and like, and, you know, lift him up.
But he had a couple more biscuits on you. So.
Yeah, like a dozen biscuits. Anyway, so we get upstairs. I'm like, oh, this is cool. So we're looking around the neighborhood. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. So this is kind of cool. My parents pull up to the house, right? And I see my parents coming, so I kind of duck to the other side of the house so they can't see us. So I'm like, oh, shit, mom and dad are home. So my brother starts freaking out. And now, in true kid fashion, when you're getting down from somewhere and you can't feel that first step, you're doing this with your legs, right? Your legs off. So he's trying to get down. He can't get down. I'm like, it's right there. Just come straight down. He's like freaking out. So he goes, okay, go stall mom and dad. So I go past him. I hop down past him, go down. And my mom and dad did see us. They did see us on the roof. So he's like, where's your brother? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, where's your brother? We know where he's at. I just point up like this. So they go up and we come around the corner and there's my brother's ass yelling, looking like Winnie the Pooh stuck in the fucking rabbit hole trying to get the honey with his fucking legs kicking like this. My dad and my mom were like, you know, the fact that he's freaking out is punishment enough. Just go help him down. You know what I'm saying? He's freaking the fuck out because he can't get down. He can't balance himself back up. He's kind of stuck. He's afraid he's going to fall. So they're like, okay, that's punishment enough. So they had me go up there and climb up and help him down. And that was the punishment. The punishment is that I almost threw my back out. Yeah, the embarrassment. And for me to like help him get back down, I almost threw my fucking back out. And for him to sit there with his legs kicking back and forth like this.
All right. Well, woo! I think that about covers it then.
Yeah.
I don't know that we have any, we've left any stone unturned. It would be interesting if you guys are parents out there that listen to this that aren't spankers and you can tell us like objectively why it's bad to just wipe that, or you know, why you should just wipe that option off the table and it's bad to spank ever. Like, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine even anti-spankers. Like, Marco, I think your wife would have, there has to be a point, and it'd be interesting to find out what it is. There is a point at which her kid would do something that would cause her to lash out in violence and deliver a smack.
She's thought about it. She's told me she's thought about it. Yeah, no, she's threw something at Sloan and, you know, didn't realize that what he did hurt her. You know, says that she's crying. He's like, oh, I'm, you know, she's just crying again. I'm like, no, 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 no. You know, it's like, you almost want to throw something back at him. You know what I'm saying? I throw a stuffed animal at him, like more of a shock value. So he threw a hard toy at her. It hurt her. She started crying. He didn't put two and two together. So I grabbed a stuffed animal, you know, something that's not painful. Because if I grabbed the same toy and threw it at him, then it would be more like vindictive in behalf of her. So I got a stuffed animal and threw it at his face. So it's more like a wake up shock value. And then when he looked at me, I'm like, did you like that? No. Well, she didn't like that either. You threw it at her and she's crying because she's hurt, because that hurt her. She doesn't like it. Did you like it? No. Go apologize to her.
Right. I would have taken the toy and stepped on it.
No. We're a Disney family. We're a Disney family through and through. Those things are expensive. Oh God, no. Are you kidding me? That mouse knows how to get your money. And if this was the Hot Wheels,
I'd have stepped on it all day.
Look, if the bottom of the foot said Mattel and did not have a shape of three circles in the shape of a mouse head, yeah, that shit gets broken real quick.
That's funny.
You're saying, Thomas, hey, listeners, everybody out there, rant and raves are not going to get the job done, but if you have your, we want to hear your opinion. If you have your opinion, or if your husband or wife are anti-spanking and you've had the long, lengthy discussion, unlike myself, where I'm just like, volume knob. Just turn it down real quick. Okay, she's done. Turn it up.
I don't mean
that disrespectful. It's just basically like I hear you. I understand your final opinion is that you don't want our kids spanked. I respect that. The reasoning behind it, I'm good. You're not going to change my mind. I have my opinion on it. I respect your opinion. I respect your decision. Not going to change my mind on what my belief is. So right. We're going
to
leave it
that's
at that.
That's the legitimate agree to disagree, which is I respect your opinion and I'm going along with the program, but please stop trying to change my mind because it ain't happening.
Right. Don't try to change my opinion, change my mind. It's not going to happen. I don't have the same belief system that you do when it comes to that. But right. Again, listeners, if you guys do or your significant other does, email us, write it in, messenger pigeon. You can smoke signal that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? You can
send us your ass whooping stories.
You can send us your funniest ass whooping stories. Mine involved the plunger and shit.
That is pretty epic. It's gonna be tough to beat.
So this is not a one upper situation. I'm saying that in a sense of like, if I share that, you guys can share anything. We will take it all. We're all lovable assholes here, so we will take it all in jest. So,
yes, sir.
I did.
And with that being said,
I have one more thing because I think if I can find it, we had another entrance into the name the Owl from Bohemian Grove, and I'm trying to find it in our messages because it was pretty
when he said I have another thing, but I can't find it right now. I was gonna be like, bitch, did you fucking come up with another magical topic that we're never gonna know about again?
No. Well, we have that new rule where we're sending stuff to each other now, so we can't do that. I'll have to look it up for next time, but it was pretty good. I still think it doesn't beat Owl Pacino. So Owl Pacino, I think at this point is probably the winner. If you don't, whoever came up with Owl Pacino, I'll have to go through the messages and send you a message back, but send us your address. We'll send you a morale patch. Matt, do you want to take us home?
Sure. Let's all hop in. We're going home. All right. reach out to us, like we said, through Facebook, through Instagram, Locker Room Podcast. You can also hit us up on via email, lockerroommailbag@gmail.com. And
let me give out the phone number for the voicemail.
Next time, I don't have the phone number, but you can go. No, ahead
do you want me to give out the phone number?
Yeah, of course, shoot it out there.
Yeah. I gotta write that down.
It is area code 626-692-5122. Call now. Operators are not standing by. So yeah, just leave them. Leave
so you're calling movie phone.
That's right. All right. A service of the Los Angeles Times. God damn. Kids God, will never know.
Is that even around anymore?
No, I doubt it. I doubt it.
No.
Yeah. No, they all have Rotten Tomatoes and stuff now.
And Flicks and became Flickster.
I think Flickster bought Movie Phone, yeah.
Yes. Flickster came out, Flickster bought Movie Phone, and it was originally Movie Phone presented by Flickster, and then Flickster just became the app, and then that was it.
Yeah, because after it was Movie Phone, and then it was moviephone.com. So, anyway.
Right.
All right. Well, if nobody has anything else, Marco?
Bye.
All right. We'll see you in the locker room.
See ya.